This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're going to finish up chapter 13, and then we're going to break ground into chapter 14. John 13:31, and then all the way down into at least verse 7 of chapter 14. Okay? John 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of glorified, and God is glorified in him." Now, what's the context? Judas has left to betray the Son of God. Jesus told him, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. And then Jesus now speaks, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." He hasn't even gone to the cross. Hasn't even been buried. He hasn't even come out of the tomb. And he speaks in the past tense, knowing it's going to be accomplished. "If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you." Again, this is in the upper room during the Passover. "Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you." So this is a new commandment. "That you love one another as I have loved you." That's the key. And that's the rub you don't see in churches today. How are we to love one another? The same way Christ loved us. And how did he do it? Sacrificially. "That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." We don't demonstrate our faith by wearing jewelry. We don't have a plastic Jesus on our dashboard. And we don't have Mary and Joseph on the dashboard. How do we demonstrate that we are Christians? Not by a cross hanging around our neck. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But what's the main element with Jesus? Our love. Our sacrificial love. "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." That's a hint that Peter's going to die being a martyr. "Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Whoa, there's Peter speaking without thinking. "Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Can you imagine Peter hearing this? In verse 37, Peter speaks boldly. He speaks with confidence. "I'll even lay my life down for you." And then Jesus has to smack him into reality. Really? "Before this night is gone, you're going to deny me three times." "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am at the Father's right hand, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know." Thomas, that's doubting Thomas, saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye shall know him and have seen him." Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Beloved, there's so much here, so let's see what we can do. Going all the way back to verse 31, again, notice how Jesus speaks in the past tense, and yet he's talking in the present tense. He's at that table. The Passover meal is still on the table. Judas has now left. Everybody is eating and drinking. Jesus, during the same meeting, gets on the floor with a basin of water and he washes his disciples' feet. All that is going on while this conversation is being done. Again, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16. In John's Gospel is one evening of Jesus' life. 13, 14, 15, 16, and possibly even 17. Some think that that Lord's Prayer in chapter 17 was what he prayed in the garden, because they're going to leave the upper room and they're going to go east into the garden where Jesus is going to be arrested. Some feel that that John 17, the real Lord's Prayer on our behalf to the Father, possibly was done in the garden, but there are those who say that he prayed it before leaving to go to the garden. Either way, Jesus uttered those words. Okay? He talks about being glorified already in the past tense. The confidence, knowing. Remember, we just got done reading in the last hour, beloved, this is where everything should fall into place for you. I'm very excited, and I hope my excitement wears off on you. We just learned in the last hour that Jesus, when he comes out of the tomb, is going to remind the two guys, he's going to remind those in the upper room, ought not I should have suffered and then entered into my glory? That's what he's talking about. Jesus knows it's going to be accomplished, so he speaks as if it's a done deal before the crucifixion. Why? Because of the old prophets. Their prophecies must be fulfilled to the T. There's no ambiguity here. And then, little children, verse 33, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment. Now, when you read 1 John in the back of your Bible, 1 John is laced with John constantly repeating verse 34 in 1 John chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. He beats that drum, love one another. So we can have a smile, I love Jesus button on your shirt. If you want to wear that, that's fine. You want to wear a nice cross, maybe someone in your family gave you a nice cross. Okay, that's fine. I'm not knocking that. But what is to be the preeminent sign to a lost world that hates God and hates you and I? That we are legitimate. It's not whether or not you can quote the books of the Bible in Hebrew or Greek. If you can do that, fine, but that's not it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. But then notice these chilling words, as I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love his disciples? Well, there was times when he had to rebuke Peter and put Peter in his place, right? And when he dealt with the woman at the well who had five husbands in her belt notch, and now she's shacking up with some other guy, did Jesus beat her into the ground for her adultery? No. He just simply says, oh, by the way, where's your husband? Oh, I don't have a husband. He goes, yeah, spot on. You've had five and now you're shacking. He just, boop. And with Nicodemus, how was his approach to Nicodemus? You are a religious leader of the Jews and you don't know these things about being born from above? It's taught in the Old Testament scriptures. Uh-huh. It's in your scriptures. He goes, have you not read? Read what? The New York Times? No, the Old Testament. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to dwell in your home. And then Jairus, oh Lord Jesus, my daughter's sick. He goes, go home. She's healed. And then how did Jesus, in the end, show the greatest depth of biblical love? He sacrificed himself that we might live. And so, beloved, I'm not advocating that you demonstrate your love by dying physically for somebody. If that's God's will for your life in the future, that's up to him and you. But, beloved, loving one another sacrificially, putting other people's needs first before anybody else fulfills my needs. Jesus always fulfilled the needs of those where he found them. And so that's why people don't like verse 34. When's the last time you've been in a church family? I don't care the size. They can be a little gathering, or it could be tens of thousands of disciples meeting in one big building. Irregardless, have you ever seen this type of love demonstrated in all of your Christian journeys? A real sacrificial love where other people who are brothers and sisters loved you at their expense. Beloved, I don't think it's seen too often. But then in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. Notice Jesus doesn't emphasize jewelry or a little plastic statue or paintings of Jesus or scripture hanging on the wall. All that, fine. That's secondary. But what is the primacy? Love one another. And then Peter, verses 36, 38, bless his heart. There he is. In the raw, no kind of varnishing. John doesn't varnish Peter and make him look pretty. There's Peter, warts and all. Oh, Lord, I would even die for you. Really? Verse 38, Jesus has to put Peter back in his place again. And then we have the part that we hear read mainly at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. Those who have lost a mom or a dad or a child. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, beloved, did you catch something? In the book of Isaiah, in chapters 40 to 45, in those chapters, you will find certain places where God says, I am the Lord, there is none else. I will not share my glory with anyone. That's Isaiah. Did you catch verse 1 of verse 14? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Well, there are some clowns out there who call themselves Christians, who claim to be pastors, and they will tell you that Jesus never once acknowledged that he was God. Yeah, good men. Well, bad men. What did Jesus say in verse 1? If you believe in God the Father, and God will not share his glory with anything, not even a carved statue or an idol, Jesus has the audacity to say, believe also in me. Jesus is implying he's just as much divine as the Father and just as divine as the Holy Spirit. Now, these people who make these claims, what Bible are they reading? Thank you, sister. Thank you for that little, What are they reading? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How's that grab you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Notice the comfort that's there. And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas, again, thinking probably of some pathway, Thomas says what? Well, show us the way. As if, you know, is there a certain street or a certain avenue? And what does Jesus say? And beloved, listen, this gives the unbeliever a heart attack. Because we live in a world today, listen carefully, that everything is to be included. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Jesus, they're on the same shelf. They're all equal. You just pick whichever one suits your fancy. Notice how exclusivatory, if that's even an English word. Notice there's no other person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. People would rather see this. I am a way, a truth, a life. And you and I know our English lessons, that definite article, the, like the book, the pillow, the lamp, the picture, the frame, the ceiling. There's room for nothing else. And notice also he says what? I am. When I go back to Egypt, your people are going to ask me, what is your name? So what do I tell them? What do I tell them who's calling me to liberate them? I am that I am. You tell my people, I am has sent you. I am the way, the truth, the life. Here's the second time Jesus claims divinity. See, these clowns, they want Jesus somewhere in the Bible to someone write, and Jesus said of himself, I am God. You're not going to find it said in those words. But here's an example of Jesus claiming equal divinity with the Father and the Spirit. He uses the I am. And ironically, in John's Gospel, out of all the four Gospels, John's Gospel beats the drum of several phrases and times where Jesus uses the Exodus 3, I am. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the fountain of living water. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, beloved, look at verse 6. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Jesus, in his own words, in his own expression, claiming divinity, claiming his godhood, if you will. Very clear, very plain. Those who take the exception, listen carefully, hate Christ so much, they are willing to blind themselves to the reality of these words. But I want you to be fully open with your eyes to the reality Jesus here was claiming. Divine being, divine nature. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.